Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakeador, Laurie Blake.
Hello.
And this is the NXT Review Podcast. How the devil are you?
I'm blooming well, thank you very much. I've been playing WWE 2K19, which I bought yesterday.
I know, you've been rambling on about it since you got into the studio.
Because
all you want to do is just go home and play that game.
I just want to go home and play the game, but also because I feel like I've done all the setup. I did the classic thing that people do when they get 2K, I think. Well, what I do at least was I did one match to test how the game worked, which I did Aleister Black versus Johnny Gargano, and I beat Johnny Gargano.
What a chump.
What a chump. Johnny loser. And then I spent roughly 3 hours making a character.
Yes. But that is the way you're meant to play these wrestling games, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
So I've made Blake Manley, as I call him, and I am waiting to start my career in WWE, I did try to do the first match, and I only realised as the match started that the X button on my controller is very broken and very unresponsive because I got pinned on the first pin attempt, which happened after like the first move. He just pinned me, and I was like pressing X, and like it's not kicking out. Oh no!
We talked about 2K19. We haven't talked about it on this show, however, but I don't know if I'm going to get it. And mainly because you came in and told me there's a loot box nonsense.
Yeah.
And I'm very anti loot box in any game, so I don't want to. We could get into a massive discussion about that, but
this is very much the 2K way of doing
it.
NBA one does it as well. The same thing is like they cast your character so low in terms of skill points that you're allowed to create. Because I remember in the days of SmackDown on the PlayStation, you could just be like, I am better than The Undertaker. And you could just put all your points up and be number one, which is fine. That's the fantasy. That's the point of creating character. But in 2K, for some reason, you have to grind to be good.
Or spend real-world money on a game that you've already spent real-world money on.
And even that doesn't boost you up enough to really compete. Like, so my character's rating is 50-something.
Which is like 20 points lower.
Points lower than anyone on NXT.
Yeah.
Which is obviously where you'll start once you finish. There's a bit in this game where you start in the indies and you fight random people they've made up. The first guy, weirdly, seems like a bit of a rib on the Young Bucks.
Oh, really?
Because he's wearing the tassels.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so that seems like... Maybe that's suggesting, maybe not. Maybe it's a Tyler Breeze rip, I don't know, but...
Yeah. I mean, I don't like this idea of having... Like, create a wrestler stuff. Like, having all the moves and all the costume stuff was just in the game. And what 2K have done is they've taken that stuff, taken it out of the game, and then be like, now if you pay for it, you can have it back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, no, because I used to just have it.
Yeah.
Like, why am I now spending extra money to give the stuff that I used to just have?
I don't mind the idea chasing some progression.
Yes, that I don't mind
but,
at all.
Yeah. I am very anti the not having the moves available. Because in 2K17, you could buy with VC points, which is what you earn from playing the career mode. You would buy big packs of moves, so you would and you could see what was in those packs. So you'd be like, I want my finisher to be the jackhammer, which is what I usually would pick for
my
character.
No Mercy was the same way.
Yeah, and I would go in and I would pick that finisher, that pack, and with that finisher in, and I would make my moveset out of those things. Instead, in this game, so I've gone through and bought these like randomized packs where you get five moves in. They have different levels, so they're like epic moves. One of the epic things I unlocked was a Brie Bella taunt, and I was like, God damn it, game, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And then, so then when I've gone through and done my moveset, I spent like an hour doing it last night, and I was going through like, and then obviously they put all the finishes at the bottom. What I should have done is gone to the finishes first.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I went all the way through, and I got to finishes, and then I looked at all the moves that I had available to be a finisher, thinking, you know, some moves like the Stone Cold Stunner, you can't just have as a normal move in this game. They're like, there are certain moves that only come under the finisher category, and Stone Cold Stunner, funnily enough, is one that I have unlocked. However, there wasn't another move in that entire list of moves that I was like, oh, that would be a good, cool finisher to do. So yeah. I just had to go with, like, I just went with the end of Heartache, yeah. which I had already unlocked and was already my character's finisher from the beginning of the game when you do the, like, creation wizard. So I was just like, this is just, well, I'm just a generic creator character really now.
It's funny, actually, someone mentioned this on the Discord server earlier today. They were talking about, like, the unlocking of stuff in, well, I say the unlocking of stuff, the buying of extra stuff in loot boxes. And they were saying, like, one of the really silly things about it is that you're buying these moves for career mode, and they're giving you, like, female clothes and female moves and female taunts. You can't be a female in my career mode.
Yeah.
So all this stuff you're actually getting in loot boxes is redundant. So
women don't have careers, they just have hobbies, apparently.
Well, you're just friends, mate. That's all you can be.
You can only be friends.
You're only allowed to be mates.
Yeah, you actually just have bust-ups. It's not.
Essentially,
everyone else is working.
If WWE made a game that actually had a female career mode in it, it would just be The Sims.
It would just be... It would just be Total Divas, wouldn't it? But, like, but The Sims. Nia Jax has come round.
Blah, 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 blah.
Right, Nikki and John Cena, are they having woo-woo? We don't know. No one knows.
Right, let's crack on with the NXT review. We're going to be kicking off, though, with the terrific triple threat match between Adam Cole, Ricochet, and Pete Dunne. Here's the show. Where, yes, we saw a pretty great match. It was the triple threat match for the North American Championship. The defending champion, Ricochet, against Adam Cole and Pete Dunne.
Uh-huh.
We saw an amazing video package for it last week with all three guys. You and I were very, very complimentary of that video package.
I was quality set up.
Very set up. Very excited for this. And this was only a two-match show. I cut one in-ring segment, a match, and then this very long mm-hmm. match. So it took up, like, probably the last half of the show.
Thank goodness.
And it was... I mean, yeah, let's just dive into it. This was a terrific match. This was absolutely awesome.
Do you know what? I kind of thought it started off slow. I'm gonna go out there, and they did a lot of... actually, it turned out to be a very smart going slow in the initial bit. But for the first, like, couple of minutes as they got into it, and they were doing a lot of... one person's outside the ring. The two people have a quick brawl on the inside. Someone comes in and breaks up a pin, and then another guy goes out the ring, and then it's the next combination. They worked through all the combinations there, and I was kind of like, oh, it's a bit slow, isn't it? And then they just went, and then that was the point, I think, because they were holding back on the fact that, like, once all three of them are in the ring, suddenly magic happens, and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, it really was. It was a case of, it was very WWE in that sense, which is their kind of standard formula for a triple threat match, is that two people are in the ring and one person goes to the outside, and then you just do more or less a singles match, and you just switch up that singles match every now and again. And I'm in agreement with you. I thought the match got much better when all three of them were just in the ring at the same time, doing lots of, like, amazing, amazing spots. I thought Pete Dunne was absolutely sensational in this match.
Yeah, and I don't think the one-on-one aspect of it, where someone's outside and the other two are in the ring, bit. I think it's just me that's wrong. I don't think it's the guys performing that are, like, you know. It wasn't like that bit was bad. It was just because I knew what we could have, and I was like, but I want that bit. Same as last week when they were announcing the match, and I was like, I'd have to watch NXT this week. I just want to watch it next week
I just want to watch this
thing happening.
Absolutely, yeah. But this was absolutely amazing stuff throughout this. As I said, I thought Pete Dunne for me was my... He was my MVP of this match. I thought he was absolutely sensational. He bloody loves throwing an enziguri. A step up enziguri is the Pete Dunne move of choice.
Or his kick you in the head move,
snapping your
fingers.
Also
my favourite.
Yeah, there's some really great stuff, like the shooting star press and into the triangle.
Oh my God,
what a great spot that was. And it was just, it was really, really moved. I've written here one of my things, like, he throws Ricochet in and hits a move for a near fall, because there were so many times they just hit moves and I'm like, I have no idea what he just hit.
He did an X-plex, was it?
Yeah. Something like
so there was a few. Yeah, there was a few moments like that. But I love the fact that like he always manages to play off other people perfectly. He's like so good at like, because Ricochet can do like things that leave you gobsmacked. Like you just watch. Like so, there was a bit where he spears Cole and goes through the ropes in the corner. And then it looks like he's set up for a springboard. But rather than springboard onto Cole, he runs along the apron, straight up the turnbuckle, and moonsaults onto Dunn before jumping back to do the springboard, spinning forearm.
Yeah,
that
the big uppercut he did. It was really,
but,
really
like,
awesome.
If there's a man who can do that in 10 seconds without stopping, and then Pete Dunn can go, oh, no, but if we did this thing... Then, you know, it just that tiny little technical twist to it, like catching someone in the guillotine perfectly and all that kind of stuff. It just makes it, it's just genius. Like the same as when he did Ricochet's getting the pin and he goes to do the single arm powerbomb out of the guillotine.
Yeah.
And as they go up, Dunn grabs his fingers.
And breaks it,
And then pulls, and then he has to drop him back down. It's that kind of like, that level of counterattacking is insane and makes it seem like it's such an even playing field when... Obviously, I think athletically, Ricochet has the edge on pretty much any other person in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, it's when Ollie and I do Ramble Club, the Patreon-exclusive podcast for $10 and above backers, we do very detailed notes on that. We literally do like a move by move by move. And I had it in my head going into this match. I'm like, I'm almost certain this is going to be in our top five matches of the month. So I'm going to just start doing my notes now. I'm going to do my move-by-move notes, which is why I've written so many notes for this match. But... it got to a point, and we say
like
this...
Like an audio book you've written for...
Well, we always say this when we do Ramble Club as well. There are often times... there are some matches, usually it's a Will Ospreay match, where there'll be so many things that you can't write your notes quick enough to keep up with things. And that's why there are times when Pete Dunne will do a move or Ricochet will do a move, and I'll be like, he did a move. I need to rewind and watch what he did again because they're moving so quick and it's so fast and it's so fluid. Fluid is the key word I'd like to use. Because it always feels so fresh and natural and like nothing, it doesn't feel too staged, which often sometimes wrestling matches can feel a bit staged, particularly when you are doing like it's a big spot fest type match. It looks like, you know, choreography, it looks like ballet. Mm. But I thought this was really, really well worked, told a really, really good story in there as well. Just these three guys wanting to win and prove that they are the best in this division. And it came with a pretty terrific ending, though. Although in the replay, it did look like Pete Dunne basically had the match won, and the referee just stopped counting.
Yeah, there was a slightly slow. Like Pete tried to sort of slow down his crawl to pin Cole as well, and you could see him slowing it down. And obviously, he'd seen Ricochet getting into position. But then, the count started, and then it sort of was like, I feel like three's gone now. I know how seconds work, and I think three's happened.
Yeah. So essentially what happened is that Pete Dunne hit the bitter end on Adam Cole and had the match won, but as he kind of like crawled into the pin on his back and very much set himself into position, so Ricochet could hit a springboard 450 onto Pete Dunne, and he got the pin on him. And it was really funny. In the replay, the referee does go 1-2, goes to put his hand down for three, and then he's like, but no.
Yeah,
and then
I've
Ricochet
something.
And then Ricochet hits the move.
Unfortunately, you can't do it if you see someone else and just go, oh, he'll probably get hit.
Yeah. But it was a really, really well worked match. But I suppose the question is, and what the title of this video is it a possible match of the year contender?
I don't think so.
Yes.
I think it was an amazing telly. It might be possibly one of the best TV matches of the year. However, in terms of, if you're including pay-per-views and everything else into that, definitely not. Like the quality of NXT's pay-per-view matches this year, and I'm only talking NXT and not even like, there's been some incredible matches on the main roster, and there's been incredible matches in plenty of other promotions around the world. This was, even though it felt amazing, I think this was just three guys like coasting, because that's how good they are. Like that, they're so good that this was just like, yeah, this is just something we threw together. Like, you know, and when hopefully the War Games pay per view rolls around and these three guys with their teams possibly are involved, that is going to be insane.
Yeah. And we're going to see some more of that next week, because they've set up that it's going to be the Undisputed Era defending the tag team titles against War Raiders next week. And like our kind of prediction we've got for War Games, it's going to be, well, I mean, I think we're going with the Dunn Ricochet War Raiders versus Undisputed Era 4-on-4 inside War Games if Bobby Fish is, well, is ready to go, which apparently he is. Apparently he's now like cleared to wrestle.
Do you think it would be for everything?
Oh, I don't think there'll be titles on the line. I think
I would love it
like,
to be for everything. Yeah. Winner takes all.
Winner takes all.
We just have all of it.
But yeah, in regards to like, if I thought it was a match of the year contender, I think there have been two. This has been like this. I'd probably say it's the second best match in NXT TV this year. So not talking about the takeovers and stuff, because I thought the Mustache Mountain versus Undisputed Tag Team title match was like that was exceptional. It was absolutely amazing. And like the six man tag that they had and the NXT UK
which Mustache Matt, the one with the throwing the towel in,
that
was incredible,
absolutely awesome. In terms of TV, at the very least, I would say that was like I thought it was probably better than this match. But I think like even if you kind of take into consideration like other country, you know, other companies around the world, it was like, I don't want to downplay it, because I thought it was absolutely exceptional. Like, it's easily the best match in NXT, in WWE this week. Like,
In the last few months.
Including
Super Showdown and all that stuff. You know, maybe Murphy Alexander.
And I loved the Becky Charlotte match on SmackDown this week. I thought that was absolutely awesome. Although I did miss, someone sent me a GIF of Charlotte doing like a catapult and like her and Becky just, good lord, it was awful. Like, it was just like Becky Lynch essentially stood up and then threw herself into the top. It was very bad.
But I think equilibrium has been altered recently, so she's not as used to doing certain things as she was before.
But it was an absolutely awesome match, and it kind of capped off a very interesting episode of NXT, because it was. And it's weird as well, because it almost felt like this was a stopgap episode of NXT, because not a lot of things were really furthered, but that didn't stop it being an absolutely awesome show. Mm. And so when we sat down to do this review, you just said to me, like, why can't they just have wrestling on the main roster?
Yeah, well, it's so weird that they're like, NXT is an hour-long show. Usually, you manage to get four matches in the 1 hour that they do. Plus, so say like last week when we chatted about this, and we said there were four matches on this show, there were also six other storylines that were mentioned, or like six scenes that furthered other things happening. Just move that out of the way. but then they also do the sort of brave thing and be like, no, half of this now, more than half of this show is just going to be this one match, and we're just going to give these people, like, we're just going to give these guys the time to sit there and go, oh, do the bit that Laurie's going to call boring at the beginning, because actually by the end of the match he will learn that that was entirely the point, because we're trying to make you anticipate the moment when all three of us come in. And you very, very rarely get that on the main roster. You maybe get that a little bit more on SmackDown.
I'd say you get it more on Raw than
Raw seem to do it. Raw seem to do it. SmackDown has more matches, I think, in general, that are not the same exact match over and over again. Raw tends to do it, but it will be only matches involving Seth Rollins.
Well, yeah.
He's the only one allowed to have a proper match.
Yeah, I'd argue slightly against that. I'd say that Raw, overall, although SmackDown is usually the better show of the two, I do prefer the wrestling that is on Raw, because SmackDown, the way that SmackDown is structured, it's all, like, matches are there for ad breaks.
Oh, yes.
Like, it's because they need to have an ad break to, you know, make some money. And they're like, well, no one really watches this for the wrestling, so just put it in the middle of the wrestling matches.
Who doesn't watch wrestling for the wrestling? Don't watch wrestling for the wrestling?
The thing is, though, but, like, WWE have done it for 20-odd years.
Is that
like,
so damn South Park episode?
It's like, WWE have done this for 20-odd years, so it doesn't matter. So you're like, but like, that's how I kind of feel with SmackDown.
Mm.
Whereas, like, so whenever I do the review for SmackDown, it's always like, well, the wrestling was actually pretty naff on this show. They had five matches, but there was, like, actually 4 minutes worth of actual wrestling in there. Whereas, like, NXT is usually, like, you know, they've always got really good matches.
The guys on SmackDown should just continue wrestling well through the break.
Well, that would be one thing, but yeah, breaks are usually then used for chin locks and rest holds.
But
they should just
carry on. Yeah. I think, like, just win by just doing it. Like, apologize later. That's what I'd do. Ask for forgiveness, not permission. Just start doing it. Have the most amazing match entirely while an advert for KFC plays over the top.
Whereas I think Raw does, like, usually really better with its in-ring stuff. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog. Breaking. Dig, dig, dig. Wrestle Ramble is taking over the Prince Charles Cinema on November 13th, 2018 for a live podcast recording, along with a special screening of one of the greatest wrestling documentaries of all time, Beyond the Mat.
Since you are able to regurgitate, you know, on command, it just seems to me that it's pretty logical that you should be puke.
Ollie L. Fakador and myself will be in attendance to watch the film and meet everyone who comes along, as well as record a live episode of the podcast with your Q's and our A's.
You make it sound like you don't even want to live.
There's times I know. There's a lot of times I know.
But this won't just be any old screening of Beyond the Mat. No, no, no. This will be a wrestle-along screening. We want to create the atmosphere of a wrestling show inside the cinema screen. That means that we want you to bring your signs, bring your costumes, and bring your chants.
He's got a puke! He's got a puke!
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to meet you all there. That's November 13th at the Prince Charles Cinema in London. Wrestle-along screening of Beyond the Mat, along with a live podcast record of Wrestle Ramble. Tickets are available now from PrinceCharlesCinema.com, but they are going fast.
Gave up Wall Street for. Wall Street wasn't fun. Wrestling is fun.
That's PrinceCharlesCinema.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Right, so NXT opened up this week with Tommaso Ciampa coming out to Taz's music. Every time I hear it, I just think, oh, Taz is coming down to the ring. What's he doing here? But no, it is Tommaso Ciampa and
his
new
music. My
girlfriend
this morning was watching me watch it, and she went, why are you on the telly? I was like, we can say that about so many people this one company.
You get that a lot. Mm. Like, Laurie looks like blank. It's usually wrestler with beard. That's
the problem. Most people have beard blindness. That means that they just see all people with beards as the same sort of mush of features. Yeah. It doesn't matter. They just see beard.
You are just beard. Mm. Whereas I'm often referred to as Kevin Owens because our names are sort of the same. However, he does have one extra letter on his surname.
And a completely different first
name.
Ah,
well, a lot of people
never just, mind.
Are you brothers? Are you related? I'm like, no, he's got a completely different surname.
Yeah, that's not the same one.
It's not the same surname. No. I've got one letter less. And better. But anyway, so Tommaso Ciampa opened up this show and he comes down and he says that he's the greatest sports entertainer of all time with the greatest entrance music of all time. And I kind of like this as well because one of the things that people really liked about the Ciampa character was he doesn't have any entrance music. He's like, What a heel. He just comes out to no entrance music. But there's only so far you can take that gimmick. Yeah. Like when R-Truth did it when he turned heel back in 2011. But I like that he's now kind of made this part of his character. It was like, yeah, I used to come out to no music because you guys like music. But I'm just the best. Yeah. So I've got the best music.
And he's got fairly grating music as it is. So, yeah. And I mean, he's now got merchandise and everything as well. So,
exactly,
you know, he's
yeah.
playing the game slightly more.
Exactly.
He might as well. He's the champion.
Absolutely. He's the champion.
Yeah, doesn't matter. The champion. So he says, he calls out Velveteen Dream here.
Well, yeah, because he says, like, Velveteen Dream's been sticking his nose where it doesn't belong, and that does bring out Dream. I thought Dream got a great reaction when he came out as well, because talk about a match I didn't know I wanted. Ciampa versus Dream.
Oh, this I want
like,
to see it.
You know, a couple of weeks ago when they set up Ciampa versus Otis Dozovich, and all of a sudden my ears like perked up. I was like, I had no idea I wanted to see that match, but I really want to see that
match. Let's do Ciampa. Yeah, and then there was also a tease here of another match that people didn't know they wanted to see. Ciampa versus Dream versus Nikki Cross.
Yeah, so anyway, I like that Dream kind of comes out and he says that he's the... And I will say this, my only negative I had about this segment is that they kept saying the word sports entertainer like it was an actual thing. Mm. I'm the greatest sports entertainer. Just say wrestler. I know they can't, but either way. Mm. They, you know, he said, I'm the greatest sports entertainer of all time, and that belt deserves a better experience. I love this, that Ciampa just says, like, oh, Dream, yeah, I think you could be champion, but I'm just not sure you're tough enough.
Yeah, and he got the audience bowing to him for that line. That was so good.
It was so awesome. And then he brings out Aleister Black and saying that Dream has been accusing him of attacking him. And that brings out Nikki Cross.
Mm.
Really? Like, I mean, I know Nikki Cross has kind of like been very much involved in this sort of thing because she knows, apparently. But I never did I think that this segment was going to open up with Ciampa coming out, Dream coming out, and then Nikki Cross coming out.
And she just goes weird for quite a long time. She doesn't really do anything for a long time. She just runs around the ring going,
I mean, I've written here, she just acts crazy for a bit. And then the crowd started chanting, Nikki's triple threat.
Triple threat, and then Nikki's got a secret.
Nikki knows a secret.
Yeah,
and like she starts touching Velveteen Dream's jacket and stuff. He's like, get off. What are you doing?
She scares him out of the ring towards the end. But she says, she goes up to both of them and she says, I know what you did. So she says to Dream first, I know what you did. And then she turns to Champion and she goes, I know what you did too.
Yeah.
I feel like it's sort of setting up some sort of Murder on the Orient Express style solution to the Aleister Black thing. It was everyone.
Yeah, it was everyone and no one. I like this as well, because when Ciampa was doing his promo, like talking to Velvet and Dream, he often like listens to his belt to see what Goldie has to say. Mm. And Nikki Cross gets into the ring and she starts listening to the belt and Ciampa's almost like, no, what are you doing? Get away, stop doing that. Just trying to listen to the belt. And he goes to say something in the microphone. She goes, boom, just knocks it out of his hand.
Yeah, and then she kicks it away when he goes to pick it up.
It was just like, F off. Just knocked it out of his hand. And he looks so annoyed. And it got such a great reaction. And yeah, and when he tries to pick up the mic, she just kicks it away from him. I really laughed. And she just starts chanting, I know again. And the crowd chants that she knows. This was a really interesting opening segment. Because not only does it set up this match of Ciampa versus Dream, but it also keeps that plate spinning that Nikki Cross knows something. Is Dream involved in Aleister Black's attack? Is Ciampa involved in Aleister Black's attack? And that comes up later on with Cassius Ohno as well. Mm. Cassius Ohno, I believe he was to be called. Whatever it is. So I thought this was a really fun opening segment.
Yeah, I think they managed to do something here that like you wouldn't necessarily expect. At no point was I expecting one to be interested in the Dream versus Ciampa as sort of like that would be the next title match, or just the next match anyway, or that Nikki Cross would just come out here and suddenly steal a scene completely without ever going on the microphone,
no,
or ever saying anything really, and just letting crowd reaction play out in the room.
Yeah. I mean, we said it last week, you know, NXT feels like a living, breathing universe. Mm. And you kind of don't get that on Raw and SmackDown. Like, at the moment, I couldn't imagine Becky Lynch being in the same ring as AJ Styles or Daniel Bryan or anything. They just feel like such separate entities.
It's like they don't know each other until Mixed Match Challenge.
Yeah,
they're all kept
very separate. Yeah, like, feuds are kept very separate from other feuds. And it just feels like you are in this bit, you are in this box, now you're in this box, and now you're in this box. And then eventually, I'll take the toys out and I'll put them in different boxes. Whereas NXT just feels one big box that all the toys are in.
Well, it just means that there's less setup that needs to be done for matches. For instance, where we might have a War Games match where Ricochet and Pete Dunne are teaming up with the War Raiders to take on Undisputed Era, because they've all just coexisted in the same ring.
They've actually
been seen in scenes together without it having to be like, you know, Gallows and Anderson sometimes walk into other people's scenes backstage, but they live in their own little meta universe. No one else knows each other on Raw or SmackDown until they're like, I have to fight you?
We have a match now.
I'm going to get to know you now.
We see Adam Cole and Pete Dunne warming up backstage. And then we got our only other match on this show, which was the finest Kona Reeves versus my boy, Keith Lee. Keith Lee, WrestleTalk's favourite wrestler. Although his music sucks. Like his music.
That's my note as well. It's so naff.
It reminds me of, you remember when Samoa Joe first came into NXT and he had that awful music. It was just really, really bad. And everyone was like, good Lord, this music is terrible.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like Samoa Joe, I think it was on Jericho's podcast. And then it got turned into the good one.
Yeah.
And he said on Jericho's podcast, like, I told them this is what I wanted. I wanted it to sound like a theme tune from Godzilla.
Mm.
I wanted it to sound like that. And they completely misunderstood what I said. And made this beat was like, and it was like, and it was rubbish. And then he was like, no, literally, it's this song. Yeah. This is what I want you to
Gojira.
Do. And it was like, I kind of feel that's what Keith Lee needs. He needs better music.
He does, because it actually dampens some of his mystique, I think, though, the idea that he's this kind of like, you know, he's got everything else about him sells this idea that he's
limitless.
This incredibly, like, worthy of adulation. You know, his he he gives good face is what he gives. Oh, like he so gives such good, good like his whole mannerisms and stuff. Like I've not seen many wrestlers be able to do that kind of consistent level of just being like, this is what my face looks like.
Yeah.
The Rock does it amazingly.
Yeah.
Miz does it really well. Everyone else kind of does like just does mean face, or Ronda Rousey flips between that and smiling like an idiot. But Keith Lee just does this kind of smug, but like not
he
like not
oozes charisma,
but almost not smug, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
it is.
Like it's,
yeah,
both,
yeah.
It's like it's actually just like pure confidence.
It's cool.
Yeah,
he just looks cool and he acts cool. Like he carries himself like an absolute star. Like his music that he had on the independent scene was so good, and it really worked for his character. And actually, it's not that dissimilar to what he's got in NXT. It's just this is like a lesser version of that.
But what
and
maybe, was,
and maybe that is just my was, maybe that is just my issue with it.
But whatever his promo music was when they were first introducing him, and it was all those in-ring promos
Invest
with him saying like,
in
yeah,
my glory,
whatever that is great. Like that music was great. That made me go like, oh, this guy is one to watch. And unfortunately, I think the problem is the matches he's had so far on NXT haven't said that to me really. Like,
I mean, I think that he's
chucking Kona Reeves around.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and it's Kona Reeves is. I mean, I'm not getting on with the Kona Reeves character. Like, even as a heel, I'm just not really into it. I don't think the crowd are that much into it either. He really feels like a product of NXT, and that's usually the most successful people to come out of NXT are people who've had success elsewhere.
Yes,
and they're just like going there, and you know, like the three guys that are in the main events, Pete Dunne, Ricochet, and Adam Cole, are all guys who made their name elsewhere and have come here and been awesome. So Kona Reeves is very much it just feels like a product of NXT.
Dream is like the only
Dream
exception.
Is, yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So I mean, and this match was absolutely fine. Lee kind of hulked up and he pounced Kona Reeves and then hit the supernova, the fireman's carry into a jackhammer for the win. I thought it was interesting as well, and only because I don't think I've really noticed this before. So when we were at Wrestling MediaCon, I did an episode of Straight to Hell with Ross and Cultaholic, which will be out in the next couple of months, I think. And we were talking about like crowd reactions and stuff, and like crowd chants and things like that. And Ross made a thing that I didn't really think about, that he said, you know when people go like the too sweet, whoop, whoop, too sweet. Ross's claim was, he goes like, I would wager that a lot of the people doing the whoop whoop have no idea what that's in reference to. They're doing it just because they've heard it and they're just repeating it. And I was like, and I didn't really think much about it. And then it happened in this match. He was like going, Keith Lee, whoop whoop, Keith Lee. And I was like, oh, maybe people just do it now.
Yeah,
maybe
it's no longer part of the sort of parlance.
Exactly, it's no longer a Marty thing anymore.
Yeah. It's the same as booing Roman Reigns. Nobody actually dislikes Roman Reigns. It's just it's like a Pavlovian response to
That's
seeing
exactly
him
what it
now.
Is, yeah.
You just have to say,
yeah,
boo,
boo.
I actually like you, boo.
We've got another amazing video package of Shayna Baszler training for her Evolution match against Kairi Sane. She says at Brooklyn that she was celebrating before she'd even caught the ball, which I thought was a really nice thing. And then she, like, Shayna is an amazing promo. She is so natural when she delivers the dialogue that she's given. And she's just like, do you know what pisses me off? It's people's uneducated eyes. Like, you know, she's like, that wasn't, it was my mistake. Like, she didn't win. I slipped on a banana peel. I lost that match. I lost that match myself. She didn't beat me. I thought she cut such a great promo here. I mean, my note is just like, I love this so much. Shayna is the best.
She's, I mean, I just can't wait for her to go to the main roster now. Oh. I'm just like, because the problem is, the only thing I want to see her do in NXT is be champion. And so, like, and that obviously stunts the entire division massively, because she is leagues above anyone currently there, I think, apart from Shirai when she eventually turns up.
Yeah. And I love Kairi Sane.
Kairi Sane's great, but she doesn't, like, she doesn't seem like, because she's cutesy and most of her moves are fun. I think she just seems like bit of a joke. Like,
I wouldn't have her cut promos. I mean, that'd be my big bit of feedback to get to NXT, is because promos is not her strong suit. Wrestling is her strong suit, because she is an excellent, amazing wrestler with an awesome elbow drop.
Because I would love to see, I would love to see her go against like Io Shirai when that eventually kind of they're both in the same on the same show finally. But yeah, I just think at the moment she doesn't feel like a credible threat as the champion, and there's not some sort of beyond Baszler. Who is the monster that's going to come and be challenging this super, but like she is a super baby face, more so than anyone else because she's got such a cute gimmick. Who's going to be the one to make her feel like she's actually in peril? Because everyone else...
I can tell you one. Bianca Belair because she's undefeated.
But I don't think she feels she's not dastardly enough. She's not like.
But she's
I think,
undefeated.
I know, but she's actually for a reason because she's really good. Like, I want to see someone. I want to see someone like Baszler. Same works as a dynamic because Baszler is so vicious that it's like tearing up children's toys when she beats up Kairi Sane, isn't it? It's like ripping up a dolly. It's not like
And I think this it kind of exposes Kairi as well because like Shayna did this such an amazing promo here and she's so good and her video package is so great. And then it cuts to Kairi doing an interview earlier today and they were like talked about Evolution. She's like, "Oh, I'm so excited for Evolution." And I'm like, "Well, instantly you're so much less cool than Shayna Baszler." Yeah. Shayna Baszler seems like a legit badass and you seem like this goofy, doofy idiot who's just excited because you get to be on a show.
She got massively shafted by the production there, though.
Didn't she just? Like,
you know, Shayna Baszler gets a. They go film.
So unfair.
They go and film in Shayna's, like, gym. They bring along two of her mates who are also, like, very well known faces from MMA. They film all this stuff. They film her running around. It's all really nicely shot. She cuts this really cool promo over the top of it. For Kairi Sane, they're just outside the door to Full Sail and they just stick a microphone and two phones and a dictaphone in front of her, pretending it's a press conference.
I like the press conferences.
I don't mind, but in terms of production, one is like you're a star, and the other one is like, we filmed this outside where you were, and it's all fake.
More than that, I think it's, I think doing the press conference thing is fine. I think more than that is so that Shayna's was so great, and like she is dangerous and she is a badass. And then Kairi Sane was like, "I'm excited for Evolution." Like, you give her a better answer.
Kairi Sane should have turned up to that press conference on a pirate ship, and then she should have been firing cannons into the building.
Yeah, that's
stepped off.
Last couple of bits we've got to talk about here. William Regal was walking backstage and an interviewer tried to ask him about Aleister Black.
Big Willie Regs.
But as he gets to his office door, Cassius Ohno is then he's outside and he wants to know if his new toy has arrived yet. The new toy in reference to Matt Riddle, who we haven't seen on TV since he showed up in the crowd at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. And
in a suit of all things.
Yeah.
How strange.
It is weird to see him in a suit. And he's like, he says, maybe this bromance isn't all it's cracked up to be. Some good lines here from Cassius.
And he suggests that Riddle may have been the one to attack Black.
Yeah, which a lot of people have suggested, actually. It would be a good way to kind of debut Matt Riddle in there. And actually debut him as a heel, which would be something a bit different. Usually when you have like an indie darling, they just come in straight as a babyface because everyone's going to love them regardless. And then we've got a video package to hype up the Undisputed Era versus the War Raiders for next week, which made me very excited for that match because NXT video packages, much like WWE video packages, are great. I also love that Bobby Fish, when he's cutting their promos, like in their little like industrial setting, he's just holding their award. It's just like he hasn't got his own title to hold anymore, so he just holds this award, and it's really it's just really funny. So they're having a match next week, as are Nikki Cross and Bianca Belair. So that's NXT for this week. What did you think of this week's episode?
Again, yet another incredible episode of NXT television. I think that I was a little disappointed in the Keith Lee Kona Reeves match, but I thought the opening segment was great, despite not really didn't do a lot to like set up a match, and it didn't do much more
just
to sort of
the
push
spinning.
Things forward, but it keeps enough plates spinning. And then that triple threat, which was basically half the show. If you just watch half an hour of wrestling this week, just watch that, because it's amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was an incredible, awesome main event. Really enjoyed the opening segment, and I absolutely adore these Shayna Baszler video packages. I could probably watch a whole show of just those, and I would be like 5 out of 5, best show of the week.
That'd be like UFC's setup videos that they do before the big fights.
I just want to give a big thanks to an email received from Dylan from Cork that he sent to us. It was just titled "Thank You, Wrestle Rumble." I won't read it out, but thank you very much for your very kind words you said about the show, and hope that you are feeling better, and hope that this everything just everything comes up roses, and I'm glad that we can help out in any way that we can. We got this here from Richard Dweck, and it's funny enough, actually, it kind of ties into what we were just talking about. So me and Ollie have been talking about our creator wrestlers that you used to have back in the day on Wrestling Games. Like mine was always it was Fox Ryder.
What a name!
That was
so good.
Yeah, no, that was my wrestler's name back in. Well, it was what I used to have on No Mercy, and my finisher was like it was a reverse tombstone where you get them into a powerbomb position and then they drop down, and into a tombstone position, then you drop them. It was brilliant. Anyway, so this is from Richard. I'm an amateur stand-up comedian, 3 years and 24 years old. I've been a wrestling fan since July 25th, 2002, which was Rey Mysterio's WWE debut. I like that you were very specific with that. Never mind that the wrestling is not real. Bumps are, of course, because everything I loved was fake. Power Rangers and Spider-Man.
Power Rangers ain't fake.
So, here are some of the creator wrestlers that he has had over the years. Just in Time, he looks like Neo from The Matrix. He's a superhero who is always just in time, both as a civilian and superhero. Mm-hmm. And Wallace is a 6'3", 160 to 190 pounds. He is based off the comedian Emo Phillips and has an 80s look. His standard attire is a white t-shirt that is striped with either red, purple, or green stripes, tie-dye dungarees, high socks, and worn-out white and red bowling shoes.
Whoa.
Ooh. And he's got a quick Rusev hay in here as well. I once saw Balls Mahoney at a local indie show. He was a super nice guy, very much a Mick Foley type, with looks-wise not matching his personality. He has a son who was a teenager now that I first saw when he was five, and he looked exactly like his dad, but with more teeth. And he jumped off high places and just got back and got back up instantly, just running around. I've met Colt Cabana, Trent Barretta, Vader at some signings before the show where I met Colt and Trent. I saw Carlito, but he seemed to have a bad attitude. I met John Morrison there, but he stayed in character. One wrestler who I'd really like to meet is Matt Sydal, aka Evan Bourne.
I like the fact that he met Balls Mahoney, the product of Balls Mahoney's balls. That's my favourite bit about that.
Yeah. So I was starting a little project about wrestlers in movies, mm-hmm. and Balls Mahoney has got one acting credit to his name, and it's in this film. The name of the film escapes me now. But I want to see if I can find the email I got about this, because this is a fun little story. Try and fill for time while
you find it. I'll tell you about my creator character history.
Yep.
So SmackDown, there was a time where me and my brother, being 12 years old, were very into Too Cool.
As we all were.
But we made a heel version of Too Cool called Scotty Too Snotty. Mm-hmm. And Grandmaster Stinky. And they essentially this. So that was in the SmackDown before Too Cool were in the next one. So I think Too Cool came into SmackDown either at 2 or 3. So this was SmackDown 1 or 2, depending on which mm-hmm. one it was. And before Too Cool were in there. But they had, this was still at the point where the worm was a taunt that you could do, and then you could put the like drop on at the end of it.
Yes.
So you'd have to sort of force it, like really force mm-hmm. the issue. Same thing where you could do with the before they had tag team moves proper in the game, you could do Poetry in Motion as the Hardy Boys by having Matt do a taunt.
That's right. Yes,
that put him down, and then Jeff would jump off his back.
Yeah,
but it wasn't a move before they like made that like a scripted cinematic that you did.
Yeah.
So we made those. I also then used to make a sort of pseudo Undertaker style character / Kane, who was really
called Abyss.
Yeah, Abyss is actually just one of my custom creations that came to life. It's really strange. Now, he wasn't actually as cool as that. he was really tall and did like the kind of chokeslam last ride style finisher.
Yeah.
Big guy power moves. But he had little horns on his head. And me being a creative sort of child, Horny was his name. So he had quite a long and illustrious career. And then when I finally got like No Mercy on the N64, I used to just make a character called Loz, which was my nickname at school. And he just used to have, because No Mercy gave you such fine control over every single aspect of your moveset. And you could even do like reversals from everything. So every single one of
the best game ever.
Every single one of my moves was somebody else's finisher. It's just like, I do the crippler crossface. I do a sharpshooter. I do the rock bottom.
So anyway, back to the Balls Mahoney story I had earlier. So the film was called I Spill Your Guts, and it was very much in that sort of trauma aspect of it. So I wanted to see the film. I was trying to find a way to watch the film. So I reached out to the director, the writer and director of the film, and kind of just sent him an email, explained what my project was, and he got back in touch with me, sent me a link to watch the film in that. Balls Mahoney is in one scene, and he just gives someone an unprotected chair shot, like really hard in their head, and it is like gruesome to watch. And he's training a, you know, a wrestler, and then that wrestler gets killed quite gruesomely. But James, who's the director, James Balsamo, had this little, he sent me this in an email. He said, Balls was an awesome guy. He heard I wrestled in high school, and after we filmed, he challenged me to a wrestling match. What was crazy is that he broke his arm the night before in an indie wrestling company chair pileup. Brackets, if you've ever watched ECW, that's when the whole audience throws their chair into the ring. So Balls had his forearm bone almost poking through his skin. I kid you not. Balls was very persistent in wrestling me. Of course, I did it. How could I not? And I pinned him. Balls told me not to hold back because of his injury. He had pride like that. So I wrestled him and pinned him. He got up and said, let's go again. So we did. I wrestled Varsity for 2 years, and I hold a record for the fastest pin of the year being 13 seconds. Balls didn't know that part. I pinned him again. He got up and said, next time I see you, we're going to have a rematch. Sadly, Balls passed away. If I ever see him on the other side, I hope we get to have that rematch. Aww. So that was a really, really nice email from him. And I really liked that. And he actually sent me a promo that he shot with the film, like a promo from Balls Mahoney to promote I Spill Your Guts that he's got on YouTube. So it's very, very nice. I might put that promo right at the end of this. Let's have a quick joke here to let us out. That's a joke we've already had.
Google Mail.
Curses Google Mail. Right. So we've got this one instead. So we're doing these kind of little bad jokes. We had some amazing cheese-based jokes recently. And this one comes in from A Little Piece version 2. There was a recall on Norelco? N-O-R-E-L-C-O. I'm assuming that's actually a make of electric razor. I'm just going to quickly Google that. It is. Yes, there we go. So let's say Gillette, okay. Unless it's actually part of the pun.
The best a man can get. Other shavers are available.
There was a recall on electric razors after a frig explosion accident caused Mr. Benny Smith to spontaneously combust and be reduced to a pile of ash, which just goes to show you, a Benny shaved is a Benny earned. Thankfully, you didn't actually need the brand name in there for the... It's not a British one, I don't get. And also, a quick one from JP's Gaming, who sent us a really nice email the other day asking us for advice on how to become a commentator. Unfortunately, his email was a little bit garbled, and me and Ollie couldn't really make heads or tail of it. And he says, emailed and say, sorry about my last email. I bloody hate autocorrect. So thank you very much for getting in touch with
us. I hate autocorrect. Today I tried to write Keith Lee's the description of Keith Lee's finish of the Supernova, which is a fireman's carry into a jackhammer.
That's right.
My autocorrect turned it into foreman's carry, capital C, as if I'm writing Jim Carrey, and then jackhammer. So
foreman's carry.
Foreman, so as if it was the foreman carry's jackhammer that he owned. So
yes.
my autocorrect had decided that I had obviously been writing about construction work.
And before we get out of here, let's have a quick Wrestle Talk Get Better. And because Ollie's actually been doing his own Wrestle Talk Get Better, he went to the gym last night and then he went for like some boxing session thing.
He's gone to Taibo.
While we did this. So this comes in from Joshua Matthews. Hi, Luke. I don't expect you to read this out in the Wrestle Ramble. Well, we are. But having heard you talk about Parkrun on a recent episode, I thought I would share with you my experiences as someone who has managed nearly 50. Firstly, I would ignore Ollie scoffing your time. Ollie was very... we talked about this at... the Progress Hello Wembley show.
Yeah.
I told him my time, Nolly essentially looked at me and was like, well, that is rubbish.
Yeah, but it's done, isn't it? It's about doing it, not the how long it takes.
That's what I said, but Ollie's
unless
about,
it takes you forever.
No, it took me 38 minutes, and it's the first time I've ever run 5K.
That's fine.
That's what I thought. Firstly, I would ignore Ollie scoffing your time. We all need to start somewhere. Thank you very much. And to put your time into context, my first 5K park run took me 41 minutes, although I was approximately 25 kilograms at the time. Since then, I have lost 20 kilograms and can now run 5K in just over 30 minutes and taken part in a number of 10K runs across the north of England that I have found, and I really enjoy it.
Boom.
There are so many secondary benefits to running as well, not just to improve your physical health, but lots of these events, not just Parkrun, there is a fantastic community spirit, and I saw a definite improvement in my own mental health.
Other benefits, escaping predators.
If the zombie apocalypse ever happens.
If the zombie apocalypse ever happens, you are, unless it's the runners, in which case they also might be really fit.
I mean, you don't want them from
zombie. Do you get muscle fatigue as a zombie? That's what I... Do you get oxygen debt? And
I don't think they do. I mean, they did something like this in Land of the Dead, I think. The fourth Romero movie he did, like, it was 20 years after Day of the Dead. And I think he kind of, like, tried to introduce something along those lines. But I can't remember what it was now. I haven't seen that film in, like... I haven't seen that film since it came out in the cinema, and I was at university then.
Zombies on a Segway.
If you are looking to improve your time, then I would suggest doing something similar to what I did. I set myself a goal of knocking off 5 seconds every week, and then you will find that it is more than achievable and will probably take a lot more of your time when you really get into running. I would also suggest that you don't run and walk. Try to find a consistent pace that means you keep running for the entirety, as I found that my times came down quicker by doing this instead of stopping and starting, which is what I currently do. I get a bit tired, and then I have to walk for a bit, and then I kind of find the...
I would suggest just starting slower.
Yeah. it's actually very good advice.
Just keep your pace consistent. That's it.
Yeah, very good advice. I've also heard that you were struggling to not get bored while running. That is very true. I found that making it a competition against myself from the previous week, sticking on an episode of one of my favorite podcasts or listening to some high-paced music really helped drag me on the early Saturday morning runs. I do listen to podcasts while I do. I try and find like a podcast I really enjoy, like Cinematic Universe or Talking Simpsons. Not wrestling ones, funny enough. I've been a fan of Wrestle Ramble since day one and hope you continue to produce a consistent product for many years. Kind regards, the world's best commentator, Josh Matthews. He is one of our pledgehammers. And of course, his name is Josh Matthews. We call him the best commentator in the world. Josh Matthews, not the real one. Thank you very much for your email and congratulations to you on the weight that you've lost and your park run success.
Well done.
But that is all we have got time for. Ollie and I will be back on Saturday with the magazine show, which will actually feature, speaking of Josh Matthews, our Bound for Glory predictions, which is happening this Sunday.
Hubba hubba.
As well as obviously crap gimmicks and mailbag questions. Until then, we'll see you next time. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.